Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
Call now with your tax questions at 252-222-4848.
And we'd like to welcome Andrew Foster from Harvell & Collins talking about life and taxes. Andrew, if I had done my homework, I would have changed the intro song from the Beatles to Michael Jackson and beat it, because it looks like his lawyers are right now beating it.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. A showdown that's been 7 years in the making, 12 years in the making since his death. Just kind of a wild occurrence. But we did get a small novel, I would say, maybe even a large novel.
War and Peace. Yeah.
277 a page opinion.
Wow.
Written by the tax court in this particular matter. And, you know, what was at issue, Mike, and just so our listeners know, what we're talking about is the tax court just released their findings relative to how much estate tax Michael Jackson's estate will owe. Mm-hmm. So, as we know, Michael Jackson died back in 2009, and it took a few years to get the estate tax return filed and assets valued on there. But their valuation of his estate was right at $5 million. Okay.
Right
at $5 million. And the reason for that was because if we can kind of go back and look and see when Michael Jackson passed, number one, he had leveraged pretty much all of his assets. So there wasn't any assets that were there that were, you know, really free and clear, so to speak. I mean, he had just taken all the money he possibly could take out of there because he hadn't been touring. You know, his sales weren't as good as they were in years past due to the various scandals that plagued him, you know, later in his career. And so the estate took a very aggressive posture and just said, look, you know, when we got this, when he died, he was in dire financial straits and his image, frankly, was not that great.
Right, it wasn't stellar.
Yeah, and therefore, you know, we're going to value this at $5 million. Have any clue about what the IRS auditor said it was worth?
They probably put a zero behind it. They probably said billion.
There you go. They went with 1.1 billion with a B.
So there's a little difference.
A
little golf.
Yeah, 5 million and 1.1 billion. Yeah. And then really what this became is there was three assets that were at play here, Mike, relative to Michael Jackson's estate. One was his image and likeness. All right. Mm-hmm. One was the value of his interest in Sony ATV, which is basically a music publishing company.
Right.
And then he has the value of his interest in MyJack, which was basically his copyrights and various other artist copyrights that he had acquired over the years. He famously bought the Beatles.
Yeah.
The Beatles copyrights. And so the IRS was basically, you know, position was his image.
That much.
Yeah. His, you know, at the end, once it came trial court time, you know, the difference in valuations was estate's valuation, $3 million for image and likeness. The expert's valuation, not the auditor's, the expert's valuation was $161 million. And then the estate's valuation for the Sony ATV Music Publishing LLC, they made it at zero. And that's really the one where they were saying, look, he took every last cent he could. He pledged this multiple times, you know, to get loans and various things. There's just nothing there, you know.
He did spend money like a drunken sailor towards his, you know, his reclusive years.
IRS expert valued it at $206 million.
Yeah, a little off there.
And then the music catalog, interestingly enough, the estate valued at $2 million. The IRS valuation was $114
million.
Oof, so still, even at trial, you know, we started off at $5 million and $1.1 billion. Yeah. But even at trial, we were at $5 million, and then we were at $480 million or so.
Right.
So still a huge gulf there, even though the number came down drastically to the IRS valuation. And I thought it was very telling the way that the tax court judge went about his methodology in determining what these assets should be valued at. One of the key things he said, Mike, is that when we're looking at these assets for purposes of what estate taxes do by this individual, we need to look at the valuation at the time of the individual's death, because that's the key time period. So what the IRS valuation was trying to do is to say, well, look, since Michael Jackson's death, he's been the highest grossing celebrity, one year Elizabeth Taylor beat him out. Mm-hmm. But other than that, he's the highest grossing deceased celebrity, you know, to the tune of usually $40 to $50 million a year in revenue mm-hmm. that the estate's been generating. And so the IRS is like, we got to take that into account. And the tax court was very clear and said, no. We don't care what the estate has done since Michael Jackson's death. We want to know
when he was alive,
when he died, what are these assets worth? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a critical distinction, because what the tax court found is that his team, and basically what happened is, when Michael Jackson was, when he died, he was getting ready to go back on tour. He had fired all of his new management and gone back with his old management from back in the glory days, so to speak. He got the band back together. That's exactly right. He was ready to go on a nice little run potentially.
Right.
And those happened to be the same people that were in charge of his estate. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, they've done yeoman's work. I mean, they have really, you know, turned around, you know, maximized the value. And basically the tax court judge said, we're not going to hold the fact that this executor and these individuals that he's hired has done a great job building back Michael Jackson's brand, so to speak.
Right.
We're going to look and see what was it at the time of death. And what ends up happening is, you got a $3 million likeness, again, by the estate, $161 million by the IRS. Tax court says $4 million. So just over what the estate valued.
They'll take that.
They'll take that and run.
Run out of court with that.
They'll run out of court with that. No doubt about it. And so there's $4 million that'll be taxed. Then we've got the stake in Sony ATV music company. Again, zero valuation for the estate, $206 million for the IRS expert. Tax court said zero.
Win.
Complete win for the estate in that regard.
Yeah.
And then we've got the interest in the publishing catalog. And this one's kind of interesting, because the way this one framed up was, it was a $2 million valuation by the estate. Originally, the auditor said, the IRS auditor said $58 million. And then the valuation expert came back at $114 million. And the tax court actually said $107 million on the music rights, which actually makes sense. That's something that you can really get more. The numbers make sense. I mean, streaming rights and various things like that. I mean, the numbers kind of bear themselves out a little bit. And so that one ended up closer to the IRS valuation expert. But all in all, you know, huge win for the estate, because you're going from $1.1 billion initially on the notice of deficiency down to just over $100 million valuation for Michael Jackson's estate.
One of the news reports I read here, and I think we had it up here, if they had stayed at the 1.1 billion mark, the tax hit would have been around $700 million.
Wow. No doubt about it. Yeah. And the other big thing about it is that, as far as penalties go, because one of the things IRS said is, okay, well, we want to penalize for taking such a low valuation, you know, on the estate tax return. And the judge said, not so fast, that the estate was reasonable in the values that they came up with. And therefore, we're not going to assert any penalties on this particular, amount.
No,
so again, another huge win for the estate relative to no penalties for this discrepancy in valuation. You know, and a lot of our listeners out there are probably thinking, well, Andrew, what in the world are you talking about here? We're talking about Michael Jackson and music and likeness and estate taxes and all this valuation of these assets. You know, what does it mean for me out there?
Right.
You know, and I think we go back to last week's show and we talk about what is President Biden's plan at the moment. Well, his plan at the moment is do away with step up tax basis mm-hmm. on estates and deemed sale of assets over $1 million in estates, and pay the tax immediately. So what do you think we're going to end up with a lot, Mike, in these estates?
People that can't afford to pay the estate tax.
People that can't afford to pay the estate tax, and valuation issues.
They'll have to sell the farm.
Valuation issues. You know, you think the farm's worth this. The IRS says it's worth way more than what you think it is. And here we go. We're off to tax court to be able to duke this thing out. Mm-hmm. And this is a good decision for taxpayers, because regardless of what you think personally about Michael Jackson,
right.
The fact is that the IRS, you know, took a very aggressive valuation posture, and the tax court held them to account on it and said, no, we're not going to let you overvalue assets, or we're not going to just, you know, believe your expert. You know, it's, there's some damning things about this expert and this opinion. You know, the IRS picked this guy who basically the tax court judge was not too kind about, said that he committed perjury multiple times during his testimony.
He may be back in court.
And that he, he frankly said the fact finding in this was all virtually impossible due to this expert for the IRS. You know, Joe Biden's talking about putting $80 billion, that's with a B, into basically compliance and going after enforcement and going after these types of issues where we're going to have, you know, corporations and more wealthy individuals, who are going to be, you know, frankly, valuation's going to become huge because when you start deeming sale of assets, Mike, you know, that's not what a willing buyer and a willing seller are going to trade. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not an arm's length transaction where we know what that value ends up being. What it is somebody with a piece of paper and a calculator coming up with what they think this thing is worth. And, you know, that's a scary proposition because when you're talking about the family farm, as you mentioned, you're talking about closely held businesses, you're talking about those types of entities that now the IRS are going to deem you sell at death,
right,
and then force taxes to be paid by your beneficiaries immediately. I mean, that gets very, very sticky. And I'm so happy to see that in this particular case, it wasn't just let's believe the IRS expert and let's tax this thing at, you know, $500 million. You know, let's listen to what the taxpayer has to say and do something that's very reasonable, even if it takes you a small novel to get there.
That's a great, it's a great story there. And our listeners, should go to school on that. And, if you need, further, tutoring or have a conversation, you should call Andrew Foster today at Harvell and Collins. Call 252-726-9050 or go online to harvellandcollins.com.